Can we give another hand for the worship team? Put your hands together for them. They did a great job. That was excellent. So good morning, church. Happy New Year. It's an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. When Pastor Russ called me and he asked me to fill in for him, I was kind of beside myself because I normally don't do things like this. I've shared my testimony here before, and I've done it at my church, but to preach on a Sunday morning, I was like, are you serious right now? I mean, that's a pretty big deal. So I'm a little nervous, but I believe God's going to allow his Holy Spirit to move through me, and I believe those nerves are going to calm down and the worries are going to go away. I'm very thankful for your pastor. I met Pastor Russ at a pastor's conference type meeting thing that he's a part of. And my pastor brought me up there and he introduced me. And he invited me out here to like a men's dinner they were having. And I shared my testimony. And he told me on the phone, he was like, man, I'm so excited to have you come out. I'll bring your boys if you want. He's like, we're going to be having some food. And I asked him what they were having. And he said, corned beef and cabbage. I've never had it before. It just always sounded not good to me. And so I came out here, and to be polite and to be respectful, I put some on my plate, and I went, sat down, and tried it, and it was the best corned beef and cabbage I've ever had in my life. It was really good, and so I'm very thankful for him. I'm also thankful for my pastor, because the Bible says that there's those who went on their own and then those who are sent, and there's a blessing in being sent. When your pastor blesses you and he gives you his permission to go somewhere, I believe there's a special blessing in that. And so when I went to him and told him about the invitation, he immediately gave me permission, and I'm thankful for him because that shows me that he believes in me. And I'm going to cry when I talk about my pastor because he does believe in me, and I wouldn't be standing up here today sharing the word with you if it wasn't for him, because even though Pastor Russ invited me, I wouldn't have came unless my pastor said it was okay. And so he sends greetings today to you, and so does my whole church. They all know that I'm here. And when we talk about pastors, we talk about the type of men they are. We need people like that in our lives. We need men like Pastor Russ and Pastor Marty in our lives. These are the types of men that will stand by you when everyone else walks out. Pastor Marty and Pastor Russ, those are the types of guys that will be there for you when no one else is. And they're the type of men that will pick you up when you fall. I know Pastor Marty, doesn't matter how hard I fall, he's always there encouraging me and motivating me to keep going and keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. I'm so very thankful for my pastor. And when he preaches, one thing he says a lot, he says it over and over again, is that he wouldn't be where he is today, standing up behind the pulpit and preaching at the city church, if it wasn't for somebody that was praying for him before he knew Jesus, before he gave his heart to Jesus. He says that it's his wife, Patty, her grandmother. When they were dating, Pastor Marty, I guess, was living a wild and crazy life. You wouldn't know it today, but I guess he was. And he said that her grandmother would go into the bathroom every day and close the door, and she would take a towel and she would put it over the toilet and pray for her granddaughter's boyfriend at the time. They're married today, but they were just boyfriend and girlfriend, just dating. And he says, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that little old lady locking herself in the bathroom and saying prayers for me. And when I hear him say that, I can't help but think about my own life. And that's true for me too. I wouldn't have never given my heart to Jesus. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be the father I am or the husband I am if it wasn't for somebody behind the scenes praying for me when I was living a life of sin. And my life was a wreck. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was in and out of jails and institutions my whole life. And I didn't want to listen to anybody. I didn't want to receive any instruction. I wanted to do things my way. I didn't care what anybody said to me. I had it all figured out. But there was somebody that was praying for me all along, and I didn't even know it. And I'm looking around the room. I'm sure that there's some people here today that you wouldn't be sitting in this sanctuary on a Sunday morning, on New Year's Day, if there wasn't for somebody praying for you behind the scenes. We all have people like that in our lives. I know I have several people that I deal with on a daily basis that I'm trying to help. I'm trying to offer some advice to, point them in the right direction. But they keep doing the same things over and over again. It seems like nothing works for them. No matter how many times you talk to them, no matter how many times you show up and take them somewhere or do something for them, they just seem to want to do things their own way and live the life they want to live. And no matter how hard we try, they keep rebelling against God. And I say God because it's not us that they're rebelling against, because they don't have to answer to us at the end of their lives. It's God that they have to stand for. So when they refuse to take our instructions, it's not us that they're rebelling against. It's actually God. And so no matter what we do, it seems like we have these people that they just keep using drugs, they keep drinking, they keep fighting, they keep getting locked up or whatever it may be. Nothing seems to work. And it can be very frustrating at times when you're pouring your life out into somebody, when you're pouring your heart out into them, and you're giving them everything you got, but they just don't make a change. And they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And we get to the point sometimes where we feel like giving up. And not just with people, but even when I turn on the TV, when I turn on the news at night, I see things like terrorist attacks or mass shootings, school shootings, or some kind of political scandal, and it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking to see the world that we're living in. It seems like more and more people are turning from God, not turning to Him. At least that's what it seems like to me when I turn on the TV or when I drive through town. It seems like more and more people are turning away from God. They're turning away from His Word. They're turning away from His church. And we could get to the point where we feel like just giving up. And the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we walk our own walk, and we just focus on what we got to do. And we forget about those people that are just so lost that it doesn't seem like nobody can help them. But God is calling us to do something different. I don't believe God is calling us just to give up on these people that I'm talking about. I don't believe God is calling us to give up on the world that we see on the TV. When we look at the Bible, when we turn to the Word of God, it teaches us that instead of giving up on people, instead of giving up on the world, the Bible actually teaches that we should pray for them. When you get to the point where you have tried everything and it doesn't seem like anything's working and you don't know what else to do, the Bible says to pray for them, to go before God and offer up prayers. And for the next few moments, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the power of prayer. But I don't want to talk about just any prayer. I want to talk about prayers of intercession. And these are the prayers that we offer up on behalf of our friends. These are prayers that we offer up for our coworkers and our family and so on and so on. These are the prayers that we pray for other people. Not prayers that we pray for ourselves. God knows what's in our heart. It's the prayers that we pray for other people. And all throughout the Bible, you'll see examples of people praying for those who are lost, those who are broken. And you even find people in the Bible praying for their enemies. You find people praying for others that want to harm them or even kill them. If we look in Genesis 18, Abraham, he stands and negotiates with God, and he begins to pray for Sodom, which was a nasty and wicked city. And he prayed and pleaded with God to spare it if there were some righteous people in there. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed to God on behalf of the people of Israel. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen prays for his murderers. This is a powerful scripture here. In this chapter, they take the apostle Stephen and they begin to stone him. They're going to take his life because he's a follower of Jesus. And instead of praying to God for mercy and to spare his life, he starts to pray for his enemies. He starts to pray for the people that are trying to take his life. He actually prays, says, God, do not hold this against them. And the apostle Paul, all throughout the New Testament, he prays for the people that he served. We know he had problems in the churches. He prayed for the people in Romans, in Ephesians, Philippians, and Thessalonians. As he opens those books, he prays for them. And then if we look at Moses, poor Moses. When you look at Moses, all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel were constantly turning away from God. They were rebelling against God. They were rebelling against Moses. And instead of giving up on them, it seems that Moses would pray for them over and over and over again. And so that's what I want to look at today. I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to be up here for a few moments. I know that where I'm standing is sacred ground. This is Pastor Russ's property that I'm standing on, and I want to be respectful of that. So I won't keep you long. I just want to share a short story with you, and then we'll close. And the story I want to read to you is out of the book of Numbers, chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 41 through 50. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers, chapter 16, 41 through 50. I'll give you a little background as you're turning the pages in your Bible. So Numbers, chapter 16, it tells a story of a man named Korah. And Korah was a man who rebelled against Moses and Aaron. One day, Korah and 250 leaders of Israel were killed. They were killed because they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The Bible says that the earth opened up and swallowed them with all of their possessions. Moses and Aaron, they didn't do anything wrong to Korah or his men. What happened was, is they were Levites, and God had given everybody certain responsibilities, and some of the responsibilities of the Levites were taking care of the Lord's tabernacle. And I take care of my church. It's not the Lord's tabernacle. It's the city church in Batavia, but basically they were in charge of opening up the sanctuary in the morning, closing it, watching over it during the day, which I think personally is a great honor. It's a great responsibility. But Korah and his men, the Levites, they didn't agree with me. They wanted more, and they wanted the priesthood. They wanted what Moses and Aaron had. And so they showed up outside of his tent, and they rebelled against him. And God unleashed his wrath and wiped them out. And before we go any further, we must understand that God does his things his way. It was God who put Moses in his position, and it was God who put Korah and his men in their position. And so they rebelled against God, not Moses, and those men were killed because they rebelled against God that day. But what we're going to look at in the story, everything I've told you starts in the beginning of the chapter. We're going to move to the end, and what we're going to talk about is the next day. The next day after God has wiped out Korah and his men, the next morning, this is where the story picks up. And so I'm going to read these verses to you, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to just talk about what we've read. And so I'm going to start from verse 41. Verse 41. The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. "You have killed the Lord's people," they said. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord said to Moses, "Get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once." And they fell face down. And then Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer and put incense in it, along with burning coals from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. For wrath has come out from the Lord, the plague has started." So Aaron did as Moses said, and he ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. And then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be used by you today. God, I pray that for the next few moments, God, that this would not be about me. God, that this would be all about you, that you would be lifted up and glorified in this house. And it's my prayer that you would allow your Holy Spirit to move through this place, God, that you'd open up the eyes and the ears of your people. Above all, God, I ask that you open up their hearts, Father God. We came here to see you, to feel you, and to receive from you today, God. This message and this time isn't about me. It's about you. So I pray that you would just bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And so I just read a lot to you real fast. And now we're going to break it down and just talk about it for a few minutes. So the next day, the nation, not just a few hundred men, the whole nation of Israel has turned on Moses and Aaron, and they're standing outside of their house, basically. They show up at their door, angry, and they're upset, and they're blaming him for the death and his men. And they rebelled against him, too. And so God does exactly what he did the day before. What he did to Korah, he tells Moses, he says, "Get away from them, because I'm going to unleash my wrath, and I'm going to wipe them out, too. Not going to tolerate this type of behavior from my people. They're going to be consequences for actions." Moses could have easily just given up. He could have did what he did before and just step aside and allow God to wipe them out, because that's what he did with Korah and his men. He didn't intercede. He didn't stop. He allowed God to unleash his wrath, and he allowed God to wipe them out. And Moses would have done the same thing. He could have just stepped aside. But in this instance, not. Moses didn't just step aside. He didn't just give up. He didn't just turn his back on the nation of Israel. The Bible says that he fell on his face. And now when I read the Bible, I like to close my eyes and I put myself in the story, in the situation. I can see Moses standing before God. And I can see the nation outside. They don't like him anymore. They don't want him leading him. They've turned against him. And God says, move, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out. And he says he fell on his face. He fell on his face. He fell on his face and he cried out to God to have mercy on the nation of Israel. But it was too late because the plague had already started. So I like to picture this. It says that he calls out to Aaron. So now Moses is laying on the ground on his face. I'm sure it probably didn't feel too good. It wasn't too comfortable. His face is in the dirt. He's crying out to God. And it says that he called out to Moses. I believe as he was laying on his face, he was like, hey, Aaron, come do me a favor. No, I believe it was desperation in this man. I believe he called out to him with a spirit of desperation. He says, Aaron, come quickly. We have to make an offering for the people, for the plague has started. And so he's pleading with God. He's crying out to Aaron because he does not want to see the people get wiped out. And so Moses calls out to Aaron, and he told him to make an offering or a sacrifice on behalf of the people. And Aaron does what Moses says. And I want to take a look at verse 47 and 48 because this is powerful. I don't know many people who could do what Aaron is about to do. And verse 47, it says, so Aaron did as Moses said, and he ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started amongst the people. But Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. He took fire. And he took incense from the altar. And he started to run over dead bodies. Did you read that? He started to run over dead bodies. Now, he's running towards his enemies. He's not running towards them. It said he ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague going over the nation and people are dying. Instead of running away, he runs to them. And he's running over dead bodies. People are laying on the ground. And as he's running as fast as he can to make an offering for them, they're dying. And it says that he got ahead of the plague. He runs as fast as he can. And he stands there between his enemies and between God. And it says he stood between the living and the dead. His enemies were behind him, the living, and the dead were here. And he lifts up his offering, and the plague stopped. I don't know many people in the world today that could do what these men are doing right now. Usually it's the exact opposite. When someone shows up at your door and they don't like you or they got a problem with you, we call the cops or we go out and we get into a fist fight or something bad happens. These men, they ran in the midst of the assembly. They ran in the midst of their enemies, not to harm them, not to turn their backs on them, but to save them, but to pray for them, but to offer up a sacrifice on their behalf that God would have mercy on them. And that's what Aaron did. He ran between the living and the dead. But unfortunately, 15,000 people died because they rebelled against God. They died because they wanted to do things their way. They wanted to live the life that they wanted to live, and they rebelled against God. In the world that we live in today, it's full of rebellion against God. It's full of people that want to live their lives the way they want to live it. The world is full of people that do things that they think is right in their own eyes. And what Moses did for Aaron, for Israel, is what Jesus did for us on the cross. Jesus interceded on our behalf, and he offered up his life as a sacrifice so we can have a second chance, so we could live. And just like the Israelites didn't deserve what Moses and Aaron did for them, we didn't deserve what Jesus did for us. And I breezed through my testimony for time's sake, but I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I was not a very nice person. And when I say I was an alcoholic, I meant and I was an alcoholic. I would get drunk, I'd get mean, I'd get nasty, and I was violent. I was abusive to my wife. I was abusive to my kids. But one day God showed up in my jail cell, and he touched my heart, and he changed my life. I didn't deserve it. Israel didn't deserve it. If you look in Luke 23:34, as they were nailing Jesus to the cross, as his enemies were murdering him, he didn't cry out to God for mercy. He didn't cry out to God to spare his life. He cried out to God and he prayed for his enemies. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He prayed for his enemies. He prayed for the people in his life that were rebelling against him. And Jesus didn't give up on us. And so I believe, as we go into a new year and a new season, that we can't give up on the world. It's true. We all know it's true. It's a crazy time we're living in. We turn on the TV, I just want to turn it off. We can't turn it off. We got to run to it. We can't run from it. God is calling us to be a church that prays for our enemies. And God did it through Moses. He did it through Aaron. God did it through Jesus. And he can do it through you. God has given you the power of prayer, and it's up to us to use it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them, which despitefully use you and persecute you, and pray for them. Don't run away from them. Don't just turn your backs on them. He says, pray for them. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here today. Changed my life in a jail cell, 2009. I believe in the blood that he shed, and I believe in the life that he gave for me and for you and for your families. But one thing I also believe is I believe that we are the church of Christ. We are his hands and feet. The Bible refers to us as a body. We are the body of Christ, and God is calling us to look to these pages, to look to these men, and look to them as an example of how to treat and deal with the people in our lives that nothing seems to work. And God is calling us to pray for the lost and for the broken. He's calling us to pray for our government and for our leaders. I believe with everything in me. I'm not a political person. I don't really follow it too much. I got to be honest with you. I turn to the Word. God is calling us to pray for our country. I may not be a political person, but God put that person in their position. It's God who put him there. And so it's my job, it's our job as a church to pray for our leaders. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. In verse 15, Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. He says, my ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Are you offering prayers in this place? Is this a church of prayer? Is this a church that prays for the lost and for the broken, for your enemies, for people who seem to have lost their way? When everything falls apart, and all hell breaks loose in your life, and it doesn't seem like there's any hope, are you offering up prayers in this place? This is a brand new year, 2017. It's a new season. It's a new day. Just want to start singing. There's a fresh anointing coming your way.
Amen.
I want to encourage you today to be intentional about your prayers. My pastor says he wouldn't be where he is if it wasn't for somebody behind the scenes praying. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't know God. He lived a life that he wanted to live. But his wife's grandmother knew Jesus. His wife's grandmother saw what was happening. So she locked herself in the bathroom and began to pray. She was intentional about what she did. She saw somebody who was in need, who somebody who needed a touch from God, but wouldn't listen, so she decided to pray. She says, I can't help him any other way. So she began to pray. We need to be intentional about our prayers. We need to find people who are in desperate need of prayer. I'm talking about those who are so far gone that everybody just throws off to the side. Once you just turn their back on, the ones that the church overlooks, because it happens all the time. We think, oh, that's too much for me. I'm not called to do that. I'm not led to minister to that person. Garbage. We're called to pray for everybody and anybody, no matter who they are or where they're from. So I want you to be intentional about your prayers. Moses and Aaron, Oh, they were intentional about that. When he ran into the midst of his enemies, he did it on purpose. It wasn't an accident. When Jesus laid down his life, he gave his life. They didn't take his life. It was intentional. And so I want to encourage you in this new year, this new season, be intentional about your prayers. Pray for our government. Pray for our leaders. Pray for your family and for your friends. God is looking for an offering. He's looking for another Moses and Aaron. He's looking for an offering for the people, and he's looking for an offering for the world. God is looking for a church that doesn't give up, because we can get frustrated sometimes dealing with people. We can get frustrated sometimes watching the news, and we just want to turn it off, or we just want to turn our backs. He is looking for someone to stand between the living and for the dead. Bill, would you come up here? I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. I told you a minute ago about my pastor and about how he was prayed for. And I didn't share much of my testimony with you, but I want to stop for a minute and just share with you. When I tell you that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for someone praying for me, in 2009, I got drunk. I got so drunk that I blacked out. And I don't remember anything that happened at night. All I remember was what was in the police reports. And what I read was that I got so drunk that I backed my car into my wife. Almost. I woke up in jail that day. And I was defeated. I was absolutely hit rock bottom. I had nobody. Nobody came to see me. Nobody wrote me letters. And when I'd call my family, they'd hang up the phone. And the enemy began to have his way with my mind. And I thought I was no good, that I was garbage. I'd never be able to get back what I had lost. And my wife, I didn't know what she was up to. She was home, hurt, broken herself. And she started to pray. She started to pray that God would touch my heart and change my life. She picked up the phone, and she called this church in Batavia. We didn't go to church. We weren't Christians. But something inside of her told her to call a church, and she called a church, and she asked if somebody would come see me. And they did. They sent a man named Pastor Larry Becker to come see me, the Genesee County Jail, 2009. And he saw me that day. It changed my life forever. I gave my heart to Jesus that day. I've been clean and sober for over 7 years. My marriage has been restored. I'm here with my two boys. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my wife who prayed for me while I was drinking and while I was drugging and while I was doing what I wanted to do. She prayed to God. She didn't have to do that. In the world stage, she had every reason to leave me. She had every reason to turn her back on me because I hurt her. I mistreated her. I was a bad husband. I was a bad father. But instead of giving up, she prayed. She prayed to God. Let's be a church that prays for our enemies. Let's be a church that prays for the lost and for the broken. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless," because sometimes we feel powerless over these people, what can we do? He says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, for the sinners. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us in this, that Christ died while we were still sinners. Christ died while we were still living the life that we shouldn't live. And so God is calling us to love the lost and the broken. Love the ungodly. Pray for them. Don't hate them. Don't turn your backs on them. Lock yourself in your bathroom. Pray for their souls. God interceded on our behalf by sending his son in this world to die for us. God didn't give up on us. He didn't give up on me. So we can't give up on the world. We have to pray. We have to bombard the gates of heaven with our prayers over and over and over again. We cannot stop. See, we can't cease. We have to keep doing it. So I want to leave you with this thought. I told you I wouldn't be long. Who is God calling you to pray for? Who is it in your life that's lost, that's living the way they shouldn't? Is it your son? Or is it your daughter? If you have a child that's lost their way, maybe it's your husband. Maybe like me. Or maybe it's your wife. What about a friend who's lost their way? Or maybe you're here today and you've lost your way and you need someone to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus. We can do that today. You don't have to leave today without knowing Jesus as your Savior. We can pray for you today. You don't have to go on living your life the way it's been. Things can change. 1 Samuel 12:23. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. I want to open up this altar this morning. I want to turn this into a house of prayer. And if you feel like God is pulling on your heart for any reason, I want you to come down here. You don't have to wait till I close in prayer. You can come down right now. This altar is open for you. You don't have to be afraid, because God is calling us to be a church that prays for the lost and for the broken. And if you need prayer for anything, don't you leave here without letting somebody pray for you. I'm going to close. And if I'm talking to you today, come down here and we'll pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here today. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that as we go into this new year, into this new season, God, that you'd open up our eyes and our ears to be attentive to those who are lost and broken. Give us the strength and the courage not to turn our backs, but to run in, God. I pray that we'll be prayer warriors for somebody this year, that we'll find somebody who is in desperate need of a touch from you, God, and that we would be the ones who intercede on their behalf. God, that we would be the ones that stand up and show them love when nobody else does. God, that we would be the ones that bombard the gates of heaven on their behalf, Father God. We don't pray for you for ourselves. We pray for those who are addicted. We pray for those that who are lost and broken, Father God. For you are the King of Kings, God, and you are the Lord of Lords. You can do all things, Father God. And as we go into 2017, God, we lift up the whole world to you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would just cover the planet, God, and everybody would come to know you and serve you. And as for me, Father God, I pray that you would use me in a mighty and powerful way this year, Father God, that I would be a man. I would be a man that prays for the unworthy, for the broken, for the busted, for the disgusted. God, I would be that one that lays their hands on them and say, it's going to be okay. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this house today. God, I thank you for what you've yet to do. We worship you, God, and we praise you. God, I pray blessings over my brothers. I pray blessings over my sisters. May this be the best year that they've had in their whole lives, God, where they see you and feel you in ways they've never felt before, Father God, that they would experience you like they never had. And God, I pray that you would use them in mighty and powerful ways too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for letting me share the word with you this morning. God bless you.
These altars are open too. For those who want to go, you're free to go. May the Lord bless you. If you want to come and draw near to the altar just for a period of time, feel free to do so. For the rest of you, may the Lord bless your day. Thanks for coming this morning. Have a great day.